Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here, and happy to welcome back University of Wisconsin-Madison Chancellor Rebecca Blank. She'll be talking about, well, her time here at the UW-Madison. We'll talk about her top priorities. We can take a look at budgets. Recent budget proposal just passed by the Board of Regents. And you may have some questions for her as well. I hope you do. What are your thoughts on UW-Madison? Join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Chancellor Rebecca Blank, welcome back. Good to have you with us again.
Good morning, Larry. It's always good to be here.
This time of the year, you know, it's the start of the new year, the new school year at UW-Madison. There's a lot of excitement going on. You recently passed your five-year anniversary. It was in July. What are some of your favorite thoughts about the UW and your experience?
Well, you know, it's a great university to be at, and you know, every time that you're out with the students and the faculty, it's exciting. I was just this morning down at one of the dorms. It's move-in day.
Yeah.
Greeting some of the parents and students as they arrive, you know, from everywhere from Appleton to San Diego. And, you know, it's just always good to see the level of excitement with which students come to campus and all the things they're interested in.
Yeah, it's really exciting. You can just feel it in the air on the campus and probably campuses all across the state, right?
Yeah, the energy level just starts rising about this week and you know, reaches a peak about the middle of next week. The traffic does too, I might note, but it's good.
it is good. One of the big challenges the UW system faced in the last 5 years, you had to deal with every year, funding and funding cuts and so forth. How's the loss of revenue been handled?
So we did go through a number of cuts. University had done that before I came. My first 4 years were, a lot of it was about trying to implement budget cuts in an effective way that didn't do too much damage to the university. The current biennium, we've got a little bit of reinvestment from the state. We've got some pay increases, which we haven't seen since I arrived. So, you know, things are looking good. One of the things that I've worked very hard to do is to figure out how we can be entrepreneurial to generate our own investment income. So, you know, our alumni campaign is obviously a piece of that. We really are working right now to expand the summer semester. It's rather foolish to send all our students away just when Madison is at its most lovely. And for many students, if they take a course or two in the summer, it means they graduate on time. It means they can do a semester abroad or an internship and not get behind on their classwork. So you know, there are a number of things we're doing to try to raise our revenues and not be so completely reliant on the state that if we have things we want to invest in, we can find our own money to do it.
You know, we have a caller, Steve from Milwaukee. You were talking about teaching and so forth. And let's turn to Steve because he's got something relating to that. Steve, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry. Thank you for taking my call. And thank you, Chancellor Blank, for being here. I appreciate your thoughts.
Thanks, Steve.
I am a current UW-Milwaukee master's student, and one of the things that has recently been talked about is partisan politics, something where individuals have a lot of different ideas and they conflict a lot. Where in your university are you working to have students learn how to engage each other respectfully and just tackle this issue?
Yeah.
So it's a great question. You know, the broad answer is I do think that's exactly what a liberal arts education is about. It's why we require that students take science, that they take writing, that they take, you know, a variety of, a course in mathematics, that they take a foreign language, because it really gives students a perspective on a variety of different disciplines, different ways of looking at the world, different ways of gathering knowledge. So, you know, my first reaction to that is that if we're doing our job right in terms of the liberal arts distribution graduation requirements, we should be creating students who are critical thinkers and, you know, able to take in different points of view and evaluate them. We are, in addition to that, doing a number of things to get our students talking about some of these issues right away as they arrive on campus. So, for instance, we're running a program called Our Wisconsin, which engages all of our incoming freshmen in the dorms to talk about where they come from and how that shapes their identity. And, you know, to sit around with other people from their floor who may come from very different places, may have spoken different languages, have different cultures, have just different family expectations. And in having that conversation, it is helping to open students up to the idea that, you know, people can disagree, people can have different views of the world, and, you know, still live together in the dorm and need to do so respectfully.
And do it respectfully. Yeah, absolutely. Steve, good question. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it. You can join in, too. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@WPR.org. Love to hear from you. This whole question about sort of maybe a little broader than what he was talking about, diversity and inclusion, they're certainly hot topics everywhere, including here. Any additional things that we are doing to ensure diversity and inclusion?
Yeah, you know, we've been doing a lot on this topic at the university, and it's one of those things that there's always more to do. We are a predominantly white state, a predominantly white institution, and, you know, part of what education is about is interacting with people who come from different backgrounds, different parts of the world. I like to say that working on diversity and inclusion on campus is not something you do because it's politically correct or it makes you feel good. You do it because this is absolutely mandatory for a 21st century education. If students are going to go out there and work in the economy of the next 40 to 60 years, they have to be ready to work, to live with, to interact with, to communicate with people from all sorts of different backgrounds. So, for instance, one of the things that we're going to be announcing later at the beginning of the semester here is an expanded Targets of Opportunity program to hire. We've done a pretty good job of hiring more diverse faculty over the last 5 to 10 years. Yeah. We're going to put a few more resources into that. I think we can do an even better job. So, you know, hiring is important. We did a survey among all of our students on what do they find about diversity on campus last year and have been using those results to inform what we want to do in the years ahead. You know, this is one where it's a process. You're never done working on this, and you've always got new students coming in that you've got to bring into the conversation.
Talking about students a bit more here, their experience here, since you've been chancellor, I think many of the retention and graduation statistics have gone up, have risen. What did you do to make that happen, and how do we keep it going?
Well, this is something I'm very proud of. Our retention rate is over 95% between freshman and sophomore year, which is as good as it gets at a really big public institution. Our graduation rates have risen steadily over the last, I've got to look back where it started, certainly the last 5 years. And our debt levels have decreased on campus as well. Over half our students graduate without debt. And we've been doing that. I'm particularly proud of that on this campus, because our faculty and staff have done that at a time when they've also been dealing with budget cuts. So at the same time that we've had less money, we've also improved our educational opportunities. And some of that is very conscious. Certainly the chancellors before me, as well as myself, I think have, you know, one of the first things I did when I came in was I sat down with a group of people and said, you know, what are all the things that keep students from graduating in 4 years or that keep them from graduating at all? And where can we make progress on this, even if our budget is tight? What are the things we need to be doing? So, you know, summer expansion is a piece of that. I'm trying to make sure that, students are communicated just as they walk through the door that the expectation is they're going to graduate in 4 years. We actually didn't do that 15 and 20 years ago on this campus. So I'm talking to the incoming freshmen on Tuesday, and I'm going to refer to them as the class of 2022. That's when they're expected to graduate. We've done a number of things with our curriculum and tried to identify places where students are taking more time than they should and said, what's going wrong here and how could we fix this? So we've been working at this pretty consciously.
Yeah, I think there's been an improvement over the years in student advising and advising mm-hmm. advisors who work with students.
One of the best things I think we've done, and I give all the credit for this to our dean of the liberal arts college, Carl Schultz, is creating much improved advising, but particularly in the liberal arts college. You know, the engineering school, the business school, the education school, they always did pretty good advising. It was very clear where students were going and how to advise them. If you're a math major or if you're an arts major or an economics major, the variety of things you can go into are enormous. And, you know, advising is just a little harder. And Dean Schultz has created something called Success Works. It's on the third floor above the bookstore there in Library Mall. Anyone's welcome to come up and see it, where we've really got a series of targeted advisors bringing our alumni in. So if you're a political science major, you can talk to alums about what have they done with their political science major. What's the set of jobs that are out there? And we're particularly concerned with starting this conversation in the sophomore year so students can think about what's the classes I need to take? What internship should I do? You know, how should I shape my experience here in the junior and senior year so that the sort of jobs I want to get into are going to be available to me?
Chancellor Rebecca Blank, Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Madison, our guest today. You can join in with your questions at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. Let's take another call. Katie in Brookfield has a question for you. Let's go there. Katie, hi. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, good morning. My pleasure. Love your show. And I have a son who's a junior at UW-Madison. Absolutely loves it. I love what you've been doing as chancellor there.
Very good. Thank you, Katie.
Yeah, so I have a concern, though, and I don't mean to be insensitive to the homeless when I ask this question, but my son and his friends, they've been talking the last 6 months or so, and he did work there over the summer, how when he was a freshman, there were not as many homeless, and they definitely were not as aggressive. And they have run into several times and with different people that they'll be walking home. Last week, two of them were walking home from their day jobs at 3 p.m. And people will ask for money, but they'll also keep going. Hey, kid, I'm talking to you. Hey, kid, you must have some money. You look like you do, you know, and things like that. And they've run into it. And a couple girls want ask the boys to walk with them during the day through the block with the homeless people. So I feel that it's getting worse. We took him back yesterday, and I had a presence and feeling of that. So anyway, I'm glad to ask that question. Do you have any plans or anything to address this?
All right. Thanks for calling, Katie.
Yeah, so this is an issue I've certainly heard about from others. I've observed it myself. A lot of the presence of people in the street is right in the Library Mall area, and the area where they tend to congregate is actually not campus property. To be honest, we are pretty serious about making sure that the people who are on our campus property are people who belong there. So we, our police, have been working with the city police. Those of you who live in Madison know that there's actually been some movement of changes in Madison police behavior about where the homeless are located, and I just think that's displaced a number of people down to our end of campus, down closer to campus. But it is an issue that you know, we're working with, and I do know that it makes people uncomfortable, and, you know, we need to make sure that people feel safe when they're walking back and forth from one place to another near campus.
So our UW police are working, with Madison.
With this Madison police to make sure that, you know, we don't have problems in that Library Mall area.
Thanks, Katie, for calling. Appreciate your call. Our guest today, Rebecca Blank, Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Madison. I'm Larry Mueller. Dave Potratz, our engineer today. Jill Nadeau, our producer on the Ideas Network. Talking with Rebecca Blank, Chancellor of the UW-Madison. I'm Larry Mueller. Thanks for joining in. Questions for her? Call us at 800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. Anne in Madison wondered if the UW-Madison has been affected by the flooding.
Yeah, that's a great question. We've had a number of updates on our major website about that. Fortunately, we have not had very many effects from flooding. Some of the student playing fields over by the lake are a little bit soggy, and we have there's a creek that runs next to the veterinary medicine school, and there's been some flooding right there, and we've had that the lakeshore path sort of blocked off there for a couple of days. But none of our buildings are affected, and everything's operating normally.
Let's take a call. Mike in Madison, your turn. Thanks for waiting, Mike. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm a longtime graduate of the university from the '60s in both undergrad and grad. Anyway, my question is related to, I know the benefits of the university getting people from all over the world, but I'm concerned about the amount of greenhouse gases that come from people flying all over the world, and it's especially, climate change is especially important to the state of Wisconsin agriculture. And do you have any plans for the future for addressing climate change? I know a lot of professors talk about it, but what is the university's plan?
Great question. A lot of people on campus are very concerned about sustainability across a whole set of issues, and climate change is certainly one of them. I think the first and most important thing that we do is we have a lot of people very engaged in research about what's happening in the climate, how's it affecting the lake waters and the agriculture here in Wisconsin, and what can we do to mitigate it? And, you know, that's a really important role that we are playing and have lots and lots of staff involved with. On campus itself, we have, over the last 10 years, taken a whole series of actions designed to reduce our carbon footprint, to be much more energy efficient. I was not here, but I think it was 10 years ago that all the coal-fired plants got converted to natural gas. That had a huge effect on what we were doing in terms of energy. And a lot of our buildings are a lot more efficient, and the new buildings we're building are a lot more efficient than the older buildings. So this is something we're very conscious of. Our students are obviously concerned about it, as well as the faculty and staff, and we keep working on it.
Yeah, and we've got the Wisconsin Energy Institute, the Great Lakes Bioenergy Research Institute. Yeah. So there are a lot of research going on in that area, as you say.
Yes, and it's important work.
Yeah. Let's take another call from Bob in Jefferson next. Hi, Bob. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry. Thanks. One of your former students.
Oh, well, good to hear your voice, Bob.
The question I have is about this the UW merger taking place. And we seem to have gone through this before, about 20-25 years ago. Supposedly the system completely merged. Credits were supposed to be transferable easily from one from one campus to another, or one of the 2-year schools to another, and I know that didn't happen, at least in spirit, with transferring courses to Madison. But what's different now about the new merger that's different from when this supposedly all happened 20 or 25 years ago?
So, good question. Let me talk a little bit about what's happened. This was all announced last fall, and I think the system's made really good progress on it. The 2-year schools, rather than being independent freestanding institutions, have been merged with a variety of the other system schools around the state, those that they are most closely located near. So there's been a big process in places like Oshkosh and Eau Claire and Platteville and Green Bay and Milwaukee to bring these 2-year schools into their orbit, and they're working on sort of creating a transformation whereby they're all part of a single unit. The main effect of this on UW-Madison, we didn't get any of the 2-year schools, is that we have, we are in the midst of bringing into UW-Madison the Cooperative Extension Service and the public media, including WPT and WPR, the public television and the public radio stations. Now, we actually created those institutions over 100 years ago here at UW-Madison. They were part of our campus for 50 years, but in the late 60s, when the system was created, they got spun off into another unit. So we're really welcoming them back. We're taking about 1,000 new employees onto campus as a result of this. I am personally delighted to bring these back to UW-Madison. I think it's where they belong. I'm hopeful that the transition that we're in the midst of, while there's a lot of work to be done, is going to end up being a win-win on both sides. So both extension and public media become more tied into some of the exciting research and educational things we're doing on our campus, and we get more tied into the whole state outreach that all of those units do.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Bob, for calling. You can join in, too, at 800-642-1234 with your questions. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. We have Edith in Madison up next. Hi, Edith. Thank you for calling.
Thank you for taking my call. I just wondered how patents between WRF and Foxconn will be handled.
And maybe for those who may not be familiar, probably not many, let's talk about that whole Foxconn agreement and situation.
Yeah, thank you, Larry. Let me say a little bit about what's happening, and then I'll come back to the patents question. So on Monday, we had a big announcement on campus with Chairman Goh from the CEO of Foxconn talking about a major research partnership between the university and Foxconn. And at the heart of this is an agreement on both of our parts that we're going to collaborate on research in some areas where we both have a lot of scientific interest. And this spans engineering, healthcare, over into computer and data science. We've already signed a number of MOUs in the healthcare area, working on some imaging related research that they're very interested in, given the screens that they produce, and given our excellent radiology department. So what Monday was about was sort of a statement of a strong cooperative arrangement that we are pledged to both have be over involved with the research campus they're going to build near Racine, and they're going to be involved with our campus. And where we have overlapping research interests, we will work on them together. Now, also on Monday's event was a wonderful announcement by Foxconn, in which they pledged to put $100 million as a gift into the university, which again will be used to support those three areas. A substantial first part of that gift, together with money that we raise, will go into building a new building on the engineering quad, which is much needed. So that was Monday's announcement. Now, one piece of this, of course, when you work with an industry, is how do you deal with the intellectual property and patents and other things that come out of it? This is an issue we deal with every research partnership. We have quite a few industry partnerships already in place. And our expectation with Foxconn is that we are going to have an agreement with Foxconn similar to that which we've had with many of our other research partners who come from the private sector. There are certain things that we absolutely must have. Our faculty, our students doing this work have to be able to publish this work under their name and have complete intellectual control over it, right? So there's, no engagement of what the results look like. I mean, the results are the results, and we have control over that. If there is something of commercial value that comes out, this is a matter of negotiation between where it came and who produced it. There's the expectation here is that we're going to be doing a lot of the basic research. That basic research will have the intellectual property that comes out of that. But Foxconn takes that research and brings it over to their labs in Racine and turns it into a more commercializable product. They will have much of the control over that. I mean, that there's, different people are involved in different steps of this process.
So, and that's pretty much how it goes with every one. And we have we have quite a few of them.
Yes, we do. We have some big research agreements already in place with places like Johnson Controls and Rockwell International and
things of that nature. It just brings to mind sort of another aspect of this, and that is faculty engagement and the amount of money, the research dollars that faculty members bring in the course of a year to the UW and to the state.
Yeah, we bring more than $1 billion, about $1.1 billion in research money, largely federal dollars, though some of it is industry, some of it is private grants, into this campus, comes from out of the state. We spend it virtually all in the state. We're hiring faculty, we're hiring researchers, we're hiring staff, we're buying equipment. There's very few other institutions in the state that generate that amount of money and spend it in the state. There are a lot of other big companies that are around the country and bring in large profits, but those get spent all across the country. So we're a really major driver of the Wisconsin economy as a result of that. And I should say that money's not just spent in Madison. If you look where we buy things from, it's from almost every county in the state.
Very, and it's a $1.1 billion a year?
$1.1 billion a year. And if you add to that your out-of-state tuition, which is also coming into the state and being largely spent here, we're talking about $1.3 to $1.4 billion that is coming in through the university that the state would not be getting otherwise.
Yeah. Edith, again, thank you for calling. Appreciate your call. We'll turn to George in Glendale next. Hi, George.
Yes, good morning, and thank you so much. I love listening to your call, your program. I'm calling about the retirement of Michael LaCrone. One of the 25 or 30 years ago, one of our sons was in the marching band for 5 years. He was an engineering student back then, and he did so much for the university and for the students and was such a... still is such a great asset to the university, and to the students, giving them such discipline and the ability to do so many wonderful things at once. And I just hope the university throws a marvelous party for him and a wonderful retirement and for him, because he deserves it. He has affected so many students so positively over the decades that he worked for the university.
Yeah, thank you, George, for giving that testimony. This is going to be Michael LeCrone's 50th year as the band director, and we have been an award-winning, absolutely superb band throughout that time. I just love watching them out on the field. He announced his retirement just this last week at the end of his 50th year, and I promise you we're going to throw a pretty good party for him.
I always enjoy talking with Mike LeCrone. He comes and visits, and we always have him on every spring for sure to talk about that spring concert. But a great guy. And George, I appreciate your call. You can join in too, by the way. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Let's go to Bill in Bellevue next. Hi, Bill. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Graduate of the university, fine institution. And I remember way back when the university had a program for seniors. I think it was over the age of 65 that you could audit classes for free. Is that still available?
That program is very much still in effect. You need to check in with the faculty. Occasionally we get courses that are just completely filled up and we can't accommodate auditors. But in the vast majority of cases, people who talk to the faculty member and want to audit the course are able to do so. And I know we have a lot of senior citizens here in the city of Madison who come over and audit courses regularly and find it one of the real attractions of being in the Madison area.
And there's another aspect of that that I really like in the summer, and that's I've heard so many positive comments from people, and that's Grandparents Day or Grandparents Week.
Grandparents University. And
that's it.
Yes. Our alumni association started this. I don't know how long ago. Well, long before my time. I think we've been doing it more than 10 or 15 years. And it's a wonderful opportunity where you come as a grandparent with your grandchild, and there's a whole set of different modules, and you sign up for a specific module. And, you know, the two of you spend 2 to 3 days working and doing hands-on things related to, you know, whether it's building a robot or studying something in the arts. And it's always filled up, and like you, everyone I know who's been there just raves about it.
Andy emailed to ask if he heard you correctly. Did you say that half of graduating students have no debt? He says way over half the people he knows who graduated have debt.
So over half of our graduating seniors have no debt, 53% this last year, and that number has gone up steadily. It's one of the things I'm very proud of. I think getting people through in 4 years is a reason for that. We've worked to expand our scholarship aid. That's important. We're working hard on making sure that debt levels stay at a reasonable amount. Of those who do have debt, the 47% who graduate with debt, their average debt is less than the national average for graduating seniors. And if you look at default rates among UW-Madison students, they're at 1.5%. At a national level, default is over 11%. And what that says is those who do graduate with debt go out, get jobs, have no problems repaying that debt. So, I know there's a lot of discussion about student loans and debt crisis around the country, but I think here at UW-Madison, for the vast majority of our students, we have a situation that's very responsible and is not adding to that problem.
There we go. Thank you, Bill, for calling. Let's take a call from Jim in Madison next. Jim, hello. Thank you for calling.
Thank you for taking my call. Congratulations on the Foxconn agreement and so forth, or at least the workings of the agreement. My question, however, is, will Foxconn allow some of their $100 million to be used to study the environmental impact of what's going on down there with water, with air pollution, and so forth? And secondly, does the University of Wisconsin-Madison have environmental scientists on board who can deal with this question?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I cannot speak to exactly what has been negotiated between the state and Foxconn with regard to environmental issues. I know there are a lot of people watching that very closely, and I don't doubt that they will continue to watch that. It is not a specific part of the research agreement that we have with them.
But it's likely that there's going to be research done on the UW-Madison campus that may relate to that.
Yes, though, you know, it may or may not be part of the Foxconn agree. You know, say we've got large numbers of people studying things like effluvients going into the Great Lakes. And, you know, that's obviously going to continue without any interruption.
Thanks again, Jim, for calling. And again, you can join us. We've got a few more minutes left, and it's time for you at 1-800-642-1234. Let's go back to the cost of education for a minute. I know it's can be prohibitive for some people, for some students. What are some of the programs available to help students afford to come to UW-Madison?
So one thing I'm very proud of are some of the programs we've put in place in the last couple of years designed to increase access, particularly for Wisconsin students. This last spring, we announced something called Bucky's Tuition Promise. And this is basically a commitment that any student whose family is in the bottom half of the income distribution in this state, that students whose families earn less than $56,000 a year in, say, half of Wisconsin households, if they are admitted to UW-Madison, we will commit to putting together the scholarship aid for them that guarantees they pay no tuition or fees for the 4 years that they are here. Now, for some students, they will get more than just tuition and fees, you know, for many students, they will they'll still have to pay their living expenses. Those are significant here in the city of Madison. So we're not giving them a free ride, but we want to make this affordable so that if they work, if the family perhaps can make some small contribution with the scholarships they have, they take out a reasonable level of debt, that they can graduate and go on and do everything that our university prepares them to do.
And that's a fairly significant amount of money. Tuition, I'm not sure. I can't remember exactly what tuition is for a year now.
In-state tuition is $10,500 for the year.
And where does that place us in the Big Ten?
We're pretty near the bottom.
Yeah. So it's a reasonable from one standpoint, but if you don't have the money.
For lower-income families, that's a large amount of money, and that's one reason why Bucky's Tuition Promise is out there. What we're really trying to do this year is get the word out on this, because what we've learned is people don't believe us when we tell them this. So we're trying to get out to high schools, to guidance counselors, to community groups, to let people know that this is a real commitment. We've got I just announced this last spring. I think we've got over 800 students on campus as freshmen this year coming in who are being helped through Bucky's Tuition Promise, and we want that number to go up.
So Bucky's Tuition Promise, and I bet if you go to a search engine and type that in, it's probably going to pop up. So
yes,
people
it
are.
Will.
I'll bet there are some parents and grandparents out there right now are saying, what was that again? Bucky's Tuition Promise.
Bucky's Tuition Promise. And if you're a lower-income family in Wisconsin and your child has the ability, the grades, to get admitted into UW-Madison, look it up, and we want to make sure that they can afford to attend.
Yeah, absolutely. Jim, thanks again for your question earlier. Mike in Green Bay will give you a chance now. Hi, Mike.
Hi. I was wondering if you could count on another $50 to $100 million per year in your budget. You'll feel confident that it would be there all the time. I mean, make the case for why this is important and why it's important to the state of Wisconsin. And if you also wouldn't mind tackling, if you wish, there seems to be a small, kind of political undercurrent that maybe the UW system is not pulling its weight as fully as it should. So that's it.
Good. Let me talk about, of course, everyone can always talk about how they'd spend more money if given it. We live in a very competitive environment at UW-Madison. Our peers are competing hard for the students who come here. They're competing hard for the faculty who we bring here. We have a lot of outside retention offers that our faculty get, we have to work at being good. And if we don't work every day at being good, and if we don't keep investing in the university and having new money to put in, we will fall behind the competition and we will not get the top students and we will not have the top faculty. So if you ask me where would I invest additional money, it's particularly in high demand fields where I've got more and more students coming in and I don't yet have enough faculty and I'm not serving the students as well as I should. Our engineering college is one of those. Our computer science program is one of those. that's important. Secondly, I have to say, the heart of a university is its faculty and the faculty reputation. And our faculty are currently at the very bottom of the Big Ten in their salaries. And if you want to keep really top researchers and teachers here at the university, you've got to pay them whether other schools are paying them. You can like that or not like it, but it's a market out there. And, I really wish that I could at least push our faculty salaries up a little. And it's helpful that the current state budget gives all state employees a 4% raise. But that's a 4% raise after years of zero raises. So, I've got my list of where I'd invest in, no question.
All right. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. There was another question came up relating to tenure language. As long as we're talking about faculty, there was some concern about the removal of tenure language from state law. How has that affected the university?
Yeah, so let me be clear with what happened. The budget 2 years ago, I guess it's now 4 years ago, three and a half, removed the language that was in state law that established tenure and sent that over to the Board of Regents and said, you need to write regental policy about tenure. The Regents, in the next 6 months, wrote a regental tenure policy, which is the equivalent of virtually all of our peers. In fact, it was heavily based on the University of Michigan. If you read Michigan, Minnesota, Illinois, Washington, you can't tell our policy apart from that. But the publicity that we got in the process of the state sort of tearing up the legal statute and saying, put this in regent policy rather than having it in law by state, was large and negative and around the world. And I still get people coming up to me and saying, I understand that Wisconsin doesn't have tenure anymore. That's simply not true. We have equivalent tenure to virtually any other peer institution you can look at. It's not the same as it was before. It's not in state law. It's in regional policy. But that is the way in which virtually every other school holds its tenure. It's in the policy of their board of trustees or whoever their governing body is.
So here we are, about out of time. In the last minute, here's the budget just passed. The Regents did their 2019-2020 budget. What are some of the big things you're hoping to accomplish with this budget?
Yeah, well, there is a request for over $100 million to the system of new money that would then get divided up, and I would love to see that. And there's specific requests about exactly how that might be spent in some ways that are quite important. There's some really important capital projects in that for us. Our vet med school, which was built now 40 years ago, is badly, and we're serving two and three times the number of patients in our vet med hospital as it was built for, and we really need renovations on that building. This is not part of the, but this will come down later. The Regents indicated that they're very strongly supportive and going to request ongoing pay increases for our faculty and staff, at least at the level of the Consumer Price Index in the next couple of years.
So those are some of the things. You'll come back and be with us again, I hope.
I hope so. It's always good to talk to you.
Thank you so much for being with us today. She'll be back. Chancellor Rebecca Blank. She is Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Madison. It's always fun to talk with her and find out what's going on with her and with the campus. And we will have her back again. Well, there are a lot of tax changes coming this year, so we're going to be taking a look at that next. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network.